Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Farallon 5. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is
Time Pop.
You sound like you're falling off a cliff.
Time Pop. I'm falling through a time portal. I think Desmond's praying to Mecca right now. Hi, everybody.
Today, in the present, we will be discussing Time Freak from the past. You will listen to it in the future, which is now. Was this not the sound guy's dream time machine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I really appreciate that. I really like that they didn't even go too much of the science. He's a physics guy, but it's all sound and vibrational based.
How do you feel like the science held up, Ari? Do you feel like the science was sound?
It was all about sound waves and math. That's
it. She double-checked all the equations, and she says that they're sound.
Looks good to me.
All the proofs, yeah.
Ari, next time you visit, I'll run over you with my car, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, yeah, I'll get a stroke of genius.
Did it not hit you as odd that they have two British actor stars that were both doing American accents? Why choose two Brits?
I don't know, because I didn't even pick up on that. It wasn't until I mentioned, I actually brought it up on this is my second podcast I'm recording today. On my Wheel of Time podcast, I mentioned that we were recording this tonight and they were talking about the Brits. I was like, I don't pick up on that the way most people do.
Well, we know the actors.
Yeah, he's from Sex Education. Have you seen that?
I think I've watched a little bit of it with Kelly. Oh, yeah. No, Kelly was talking about it. Yeah.
And she's from this thing. I forgot what it's called. Game of Swords.
Game of Swords.
That Game of Thrones thing that lasted a few seasons that some people watched.
Some people dug it. I'm about the Wheel of Time. I don't know what this Game of Thrones is.
You're watching her go from this like sword wielding British like royal family to like this like Midwest bartender. It was trippy.
Well, can you like, because you... I didn't care one way or the other because I don't have that much of a history, but you hated Dark Phoenix, right?
Oh, yeah. She was in Dark Phoenix.
She was Dark Phoenix.
I didn't despise it. It wasn't amazing.
Okay.
I didn't hate her in that. That's right.
You don't hate her forever for...
No, I don't hate her forever.
That piece of garbage.
We could get into all the worst superhero films than that film. There are some.
You know who I love, though? And I'm so terrible because I, of course, I don't know his real name, but Skylar Gazondo. I love that kid.
Is that the comic relief friend?
The best friend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
I didn't come across him until The New Vacation and I fell in love with him and he was fucking great. Like I laughed out loud at him several times.
Yeah, he was very funny in this.
This was a rom-com, friends.
Yeah, it kind of was.
This was his rom-com-y.
I'm starting to like, we've watched a lot of them and I don't know. There's, because I guess like rom-coms are so hit and miss anyways that like if you just throw in some time travel, I'm like, I just buy right into the premise and therefore accept everything else that happens with it.
There's enough where we could just have a podcast about rom-com time travel films.
Mm-hmm.
Called Of Love and Time. Love and Time.
You've mentioned that before. I think I'm into it. I like all these movies so much.
Time for love.
Well, you know what it is, right?
Love.
Exactly. You love someone so much that you have to travel through time to either save them, get them back. It's a very powerful catalyst.
Or gently manipulate them into staying with you.
Do you know what it is? It's the power of love.
Exactly.
Huey Lewis is so proud of you.
I gotta pay him now. I gotta fucking ship him a quarter. God damn it.
All right, let's do it. Time Freak.
So in general, we enjoyed this movie.
Huh. Is that what we said?
Oh.
Well, okay.
I will stop leading the witness.
Yeah, Desmond. There were a lot of great things about this movie. There were a lot of not so great things about this movie. My first question is, why is it called Time Freak?
Yeah, he's a freak because he's a nerd.
He kind of freaks out. Like, the only reason I bought into the title was because Kelly sat down and watched the last half hour with me. And he's a fucking nut job. if you see the whole movie, he's just a guy that's in love that's making terrible decisions. But if you sit down and watch the last 30 minutes, this is a terrible person.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy, right? Like,
yeah.
Like mental issues a little bit.
But you are right. Time freak. Like, you just imagine some guy just going all over the place and scaring, using his time machine just to jump out of closets and scare people, not just desperately trying to save the love of his life. Because let's get into it. This guy he's super awkward. He's super nerdy. He's very organized, and he's in an accelerated program. Like, he's in college. Like, he's going to be a physics guy. That's what he's going to do with his life. And then he falls in love with this super la la, whatever, we'll see what happens kind of thing.
They're trying to hint from the very beginning that they just weren't right for each other, that they were kind of polar opposites.
Yeah.
You know, with her music career. And she's like, I don't know, I don't really care what happens, and I want to do everything. And she's just this kind of fly by the seat of her pants type of person.
I was saying, this is a pretty like popular trope in rom-coms, you know. This is the Along Comes Polly, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. He's the control freak. She's the free loving. He brings about, you know, an anchor to her, and she teaches him to step outside his comfort zone. We've seen it a lot.
And in the beginning, it's that whole opposites attract. They're going to be great for each other.
Right.
But then, you know, reality starts to. And he is like really, because of his rigidness, he is a little controlling, like not in a like, in an abusive sort of way, but in a way that could drive someone away.
Well, he also, like the scene with the movie, he's like an asshole. Like, he calls that girl a bitch, and he's like getting really upset because they didn't like his movie. Like, he's got some issues. He's got some like anger issues or something.
The movies always tend to do this, but the free-loving person always kind of ends up being like a worse deal for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other person, it opens them up, but for them, that person just kind of slows them down, traditionally, in the tropes, yeah.
So they were together for a year, is that what it was? They were together for 1 year?
Yeah.
And then she broke up with him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and this movie starts out, again, I've mentioned this before, but just like, we're in this time of movies now, where they're just like, time travel exists, let's go, like, from the opening scene.
Yeah, there's no origin. There's just the movie starts and they're already using the time travel device, which was just like the meet cute.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
or
but
Palm
he,
Springs.
He is the first person to ever invent time travel.
Theoretically, yes.
From what we know of. And it's so funny to me, these movies where we get to see the main character build or discover the time travel and they don't share it with anyone. This is the biggest discovery of human history. And they keep it for themselves to use for personal reasons.
And it's so nonchalant, right? He's just like, yeah, so I built a time machine. Like, no, that's a big achievement. They just kind of brush over it. Like, so I had to fix her and it came to me. And so I built a time machine and I just kept it secret and I had the budget. And it's like the most revolutionary thing ever invented. And they just kind of gloss over it. Like, it's a really easy thing.
Yeah.
If you invented time travel, Ari, would you want the governments getting a hold of it?
Oh, no
I mean,
way.
That's a good point, right? Because let's say you discover it, you build it, and then you go and then you try it and it works, right? And then you're like, who can I tell about this? Because, yeah, any government is going to immediately seize that away from you. So that's a good point. Maybe you can't tell anybody.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to use it to your advantage, you won't be able to if more people know about it.
Because it's weird that he brings Evan into it. It seems like Evan should have caught him using it. And then Stillman's like, all right, fine, let's go. Like, it's kind of crazy that from the onset, he's like, I'm going to get my buddy involved in this. We're going to time travel. You're going to help me out.
I see what they did with the little side story of the best friend. How in the beginning, they didn't really make it clear that he didn't like his life, you know, that he was going bald and overweight.
Which was hard to tell.
Yeah, and was at a job he didn't like because he dropped out of college. They didn't really make that strong enough in the beginning, but as the movie went on and it unfolded, then it made more sense.
Well, and it was kind of cool because I think he thought he was fine with his life, and it wasn't until he went back a couple times, he's like, I really built a path to nowhere.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And that makes the movie more interesting, having that.
So he discovers, the main character discovers.
So it starts with them breaking up.
Well, right. But the day that they met is when he discovered the theory.
When he got hit with a car.
The math equation. So he had this math equation the whole relationship, but didn't build the time machine until she broke up with him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was just theories and possibilities. But yeah, it wasn't until heartbreak drove him to actually build it that it all came together.
And the way that he traveled was, you know, some really quickly mentioned science and what seems like sound waves, which was connected through his cell phone, which is very high tech.
Which is tethered to his phone when he time travels back.
In the past. So his consciousness, their consciousness, travels back in time, I'm assuming through his cell phone.
But how can, the other guy. So, it's not clear. What seems like happens is that their physical body kind of evaporates and they go into the consciousness of the previous self.
No, I bet you
their bodies just lie there limp.
They have to be.
Or are they swapping consciousness?
No, because he goes back all the time and stays there. He almost, especially towards the end of the movie, like he just goes back an hour.
Not an hour, but he goes back. Oh, right. Sometimes he does go back an hour, right?
No, there are times where he goes back for a whole night.
Right. But then he just always stays there. He doesn't always return.
Right. So what we're saying, we're thinking this all the way through. What happens to his body in the present?
Yeah.
Does it lie there? I don't think it lies. I don't know. I got the impression that it sort of dissolves and they go into their past selves. None of it makes good sense. But otherwise, there's just vacant bodies. We've also seen the thing where the consciousness swaps to the future, but that would cause all kinds of chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They gloss over that part, which a lot of time travel movies do. That's fine.
It's a rom-com. It's not meant to be analyzed, but we're going to today.
Oh, yes, we are.
Maybe they do all the time. Go back, their body stays in the present. Their consciousness goes back. They adjust what they need to. And then...
So it's just vacant bodies just hanging out, just standing up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if they're gone for 24 hours? The body needs to pee or they don't eat or what?
Well, it's instantaneous to the body in the now.
That's true.
It's you leave and you come back the same moment, no matter how long you're gone.
You would think the bodies would be lying down as opposed to standing up without a consciousness in it.
It's just like that, man. It's just like that.
That's a good question. Does spending 2 hours in the past is the same amount of time as the 2 hours in the present?
No.
No. Okay. Desmond says no.
At the end, he says he spent 60 to 70 years time traveling, give or take a decade.
He did say that.
Oh.
But if the body was there, you could change the past and be in a situation where your future body is no longer where you left it. You don't even have that spot if you change things enough. This is a lot of theory that's questionable.
Okay, so when I first watched this movie, I had the thought of his body is just hanging out there for the 12 hours that he's gone. But that's a good point, Desmond, that, you can go and spend as much time in the past as you need and then
it's always
come
instant.
Back to that exact moment or 1 second later from when you left. So that's probably what their consciousness is doing. Okay, that makes more sense.
They're suggesting there's one timeline.
Yeah.
Because the same body wouldn't be there. It'd be in an alternate timeline once you made the changes.
Oh, no, this is definitely ripple effect.
Yeah.
Because he is gauging if it worked or not based on a text.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A little Back to the Future nod, right? There's a lot of films in here. The 1 minute time machine was super in here and Back to the Future a little bit.
Yeah.
I know we talked about 1 minute time machine so much. I was waiting to figure out how he was. When they showed that opening montage, I thought eventually we were going to see a dumpster full of dead bodies.
Oh, absolutely. I thought Ari and I were watching this and we're still waiting for the consequences to happen.
Yeah.
And we thought for sure there'd be the alternate timelines where he screwed up or some consequence.
There weren't too many consequences.
Nope. He just keeps erasing it and going back. And
because it's so easy, like having it on the cell phone and just like, whoop, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
3 hours.
So his friend talks about traveling to see dinosaurs and stuff. It seems like with this logic, you can only travel as far back as he had a cell phone. Was only within a few, you know, whatever, 10, 15 years. And probably a smartphone, so probably very specific.
Oh, is it a different phone? Oh, I guess he's only going back a year. So he had the same phone the whole... So it's got to be that phone. So as soon as he upgrades to the iPhone 14...
It doesn't work anymore?
He can't go back any...
So it's like Back to the Future. The object you take to the past from the future still stays as it is.
He doesn't take it back. He just has that phone already in his pocket.
Oh, that's right.
But there's a program on his past phone somehow that like he took the program with him. Like he sent the program through the past that was able to link to the present phone to see if the text...
He went to the past and then on this past phone hooked it up, right?
Yeah.
To link up. Jesus.
So...
That's right, because once he goes back to day one, that program's always on that phone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Butterfly Effect, they showed when he like left the body, there was like a vacancy. His mind was blacked out. What happens, the consciousness, when he leaves the body in the past, does that... new consciousness remember what he did when he took over? Or are they like, what just happened?
They did not go over that.
They do talk about it. They mention like, I'm gonna turn off Call of Duty and open my books. So when I bounce out of here, my now self will be like, oh yeah, I gotta study. Like he...
Right, but will they remember what that person did in the 10 minutes or 1 hour?
Yeah.
What happens to the consciousness? These are some of the... Well, a lot of ethics to talk about in this one.
I took it as the other consciousness just picks up from right where they left off and has the memory of what actually happened. But that doesn't make sense because if they're trying to change things, then they wouldn't have the same
memory. It would make sense. It's like what you pointed out. When they come back to the future, they should have the memories of all the new changes. Their brain should adjust.
Yeah,
didn't seem like they did. He was like, am I still dating her? I think so. Like, so when going along with that, memory should shift immediately as soon as, if it's one timeline.
That's a big hole. Since it was ripple effect, they should have, had the memories of whatever was changed automatically, and they didn't. So that was one of their holes for sure.
I like just the cute thing. I like how it messes with your sinuses when you time travel. I just love things that we don't think about.
Yeah.
Like the DeLorean gets really cold or just that, you know.
That it's painful.
Yeah, you need to drink water. But I love the idea they got to shake out their sinuses.
Well, and it's like, to me, they had that look like a terrible noise, like the vibration of like a crazy, like, you know, and you're like, your eyes almost hurt, you know, when you get that a high pitch, like if you hear feedback or something, like it hurts your fucking face.
Yeah, it's unpleasant.
Yeah, I think it should jack you up. Time travel should make you feel off. that's logical.
Yeah, I liked that little aspect of it too. So he... redoes all these things, you know, he redoes the video watching night, he redoes the like mini Burning Man that they did, and it works.
After like 4 or 5 times, it finally works.
Does he ever get to redo this when he says I love you, and then she sees that song for him and he's an idiot about it because he's just mad that she didn't write a song telling him how much he loved him? Do they redo that night?
Oh, no, that one kind of turned weird, but ended up being good anyway, right? Like, he didn't do it perfect, but it was like the perfect imperfection. Is that the night that she said he starts talking about time traveling?
No, that's when they were stoned.
Oh, yeah, because that's when reverse time travel breaks, though, right?
One of the times it doesn't work, the phone glitches or something.
Right, he's stuck.
Yeah.
But it ends up like being authentic and okay, and she said it was like a perfect imperfection and not to change it. I think that was that.
So forward still works. So he can jump to certain points in time, but he's only got one shot at it.
Right. He can't go back and do it over. Yeah. So that's when he does the party with the friends, the little campfire party.
The rave.
Yeah. And he does it correctly, right? He doesn't freak out and he joins in.
And it works out great because like 30 seconds after he... freaked out the first time, she danced over to him and gave him a big kiss and told him how awesome he thought he was for
being chill and cool and not being himself.
Right.
Right. Then he checks his phone and then the message is not there. The we need to talk message is gone.
And that is that the night that Evans with Blue Ribbon Girl. And
oh, yeah. That's when he says something very depressing. It's really interesting, this idea of you can just keep changing time, how you just your actions, you just don't you can do whatever the hell you want. Right. You can just say whatever you want. You can kill people because you're just going to change back and erase it. Now, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So Evan kind of fucks up this first try with the Blue Ribbon Girl, thinking that he's just going to go back and do it because they just he just relived the same frisbee game 1,000 times. So he's used to all the redos. And then so he says something really stupid to Blue Ribbon Girl. And then that's reverse time travel.
Just, this is getting awkward here.
Yeah. He's very funny in this movie. The best friend guy.
So great. So after the rave night, everything's great. They come back to the future.
They come back to the present.
Come back to the present. And what's not there?
And there was no time machine, right?
Yeah.
And the time machine has disappeared. So his body was just standing there. Or, you know, it was instant and the time machine is gone because they never broke up. So he never built the machine.
But then don't you need it to tether you back to the present? Is that a possible issue?
If it's instant, the minute you change the past and its ripple effect, you're going to ripple with it and instantly go back. But, you know, if you change enough things in the past to where you're not in that spot, I mean, that was, you know, that was like a year, maybe half a year ago, enough things could have happened that you were, you know, driving a car instead of standing in your garage.
You lived in a different place. You moved in with her.
So yes, there definitely could be holes with that. But so then they are still in a relationship and do they break up again or she tries to break up with him again or something?
No, he's everything's great. And so they're going to go out. Because he finally gets to hang out with her, so he just wants to have
for her birthday.
His birthday, and she's an hour late to his birthday, and he gets all Evan about it.
Yeah, bent out of shape, he gets hangry.
That's right.
They lose the reservations of the fancy place.
Yeah, and he they're sitting at some shitty diner instead, and they don't seem happy, and that's when he decides to build the time machine.
Well, no, he freaks out, and she says another text about maybe we should talk. There's a lot more going on than just that night, and we should talk about it.
And then
he builds a time machine.
Yeah. So, but they didn't break up yet, but he's afraid, and so he builds a time machine again because he still has the equation in his head.
Because it's so easy to do.
All you need is some speakers and a microphone.
And some metal.
Like, the idea of putting a microphone in the middle of a bunch of speakers, like, I almost feel like this could work. I feel like that would that would create just a swirling vortex of gravity and you'd be gone.
Of feedback. So much feedback that you travel through time.
Yep.
So he builds the machine and then he proceeds to, I guess what he said, the next 50, 60 years correcting.
No, we spent, well, it's like two, I think it's 2 years.
It's 2 years later.
Yeah.
Right.
But it takes him 60 years to go 2 years because he's so.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So hyper about making every moment perfect.
They say little comments about, I think in the beginning of the movie, they talked about how she was like a bad server and like a bad cook. But then they're having a dinner party in this beautiful mansion. And they're like, oh, Debbie always cooks everything perfectly. And they show that little scene where she burns the whatever and he has to go back and fix it. And he's almost annoyed at this point that he has to go back again. And he says some flippant comment because he knows that no one will remember it.
That's right, because that's what he says at when they're having their birthday fight. He goes, I'm the only one working on this. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
Because he's all pissed off that he's been. And he does, just because this will come up in a minute, he does during one of his time travel episodes mention it to her. Like, oh, by the way, I'm timed. I forget exactly how he says it.
Right. She's stoned. But he's like, yeah, I'm a time traveler. He says he's going to fix it. And she says, don't fix it. That's when she said it's the perfect imperfection moment.
And he doesn't fix it. So she has that vague memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. So he's like annoyed. Like, he goes back.
They both look unhappy. Like, they're at a dinner party and like you can just see that they're like happy, but not happy. They're both a little off.
Yeah. And she says some comment about how they never fight. I'm sure that every time they have a fight or a disagreement, he just goes back and redoes it so that they never fight. And you can see that I think she has some sort of music career, but she like doesn't care. She's like depressed.
Yeah.
She doesn't feel like herself. She has some sort of career, but she doesn't really care about it.
Because she's not trying. He's just like going like, because like she gets the record deal because he does some time travel shit and a bunch of record producers.
And it's easy for her. Yeah.
Call her out of nowhere because he's procured this perfect moment. She's not actually like putting effort into becoming a great musician. He's just procuring.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. Her music could have come out of her pain, right? Or like, and now they're like, isn't everything's just smoothed over?
Everything's perfect for her. Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, this character loved her so much, loved her obsessively and wanted to make her life perfect, you know, out of a good intention, out of love, but it ended up, you know,
taking away her essence.
Yeah, not allowing her to be her and make her mistakes and experience the good, the bad, all of it. It's a really interesting concept.
Yeah.
I thought at the end he was going to realize that she wasn't right for him, like that he was, when he seemed so frustrated with her, like, is he going to break up with her? Maybe he's like, I've been trying to make this person where she's not right for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of thought that might happen too. At the end, the roles might reverse.
Yeah. So after she essentially says, like, I don't care about my music. Why don't we fight? Something's wrong. Like, she essentially says something like that. He gets, like, frustrated. And he is that when he decides he needs to, like, butterfly effect it?
Oh, yeah. At some point, it hits him.
I forget, you know, the exact steps that lead up to this. But I did predict it. I was like, he's going to go back and he's going to make it so that they never meet to, like, you know, because he's the problem, right? She's not happy because he's the problem. And so that's what he tries to do.
Well, he tells his friend about it, who's now the meditation guide. Yeah. Is now like a yoga instructor.
He's like in good shape and...
He's still got the bald spot, but that's okay. He's in great shape.
But he's, yeah, like a meditation master or something. And when he tells his best friend that he's going to destroy the machine, the best friend's like, no, please don't. I've been using it.
Oh, yeah. That's a primer moment. It was kind of felt like primer.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to get wacky with that, though.
Oh, yeah. So his friend, yeah, when he first tells his friend he's going to, like you said, a butterfly effect and he's cool. And then his friend like runs over to his house. Just like, please don't. Please don't.
He's like, if I ever caught you? He's like, yeah, but then I went back and paid that.
I know. I've never caught you doing it. You catch me all the time. So great.
That was very funny.
That was hilarious.
So then they're in the lab and the main guy is like, he's trying to go back to stop his past self from ever meeting.
And by now, Debbie's walked in.
Yeah, they were fighting and wrestling and she
sees all three of them are standing in the room.
And she's like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
And they tell her. And she rightfully kind of freaks out.
This is why we never fight.
Yeah.
This is why we don't fight.
I mean, if you think about that, your entire...
Your life was hijacked and lied to.
Yeah,
the
past, however, 3, 4, 5 years, you had zero control over, like, most of your life. And you were like
manipulated, sort of
extremely manipulated.
This is what Bill Murray did in Groundhog Day. Really, it's the same thing, yeah. Right? He wins her over by just keep trying everything until you say the right thing.
Yeah, and if he like, I mean, he's a time freak. So like, if he wanted to have Italian for dinner and she wanted to have sushi, he would keep going back and figure out how to lure her. Like,
right? You can program someone essentially.
If he's spending 70 years doing it, like, he's not just doing it for burnt chicken at home. Like,
so he says, I'm gonna go back and I'm going to essentially free you so that none of this ever happened. And the best friend's like, no, don't do this. And then at the very last second, he's got the machine turned on and he's about to travel, the best friend kind of jumps into the space and travels back with him. So now they're back at the day where he first meets her at the bar where he got hit by the car and had the idea,
yes,
of the equation, and then proceeds the most ridiculous scene of the whole movie, where it was super unnecessary, but I laughed really hard.
I laughed so hard
at the dinky little smart car driving around. So the best friend is trying to hit the main guy again to give him this inspiration. That's where he got the inspiration for the...
But it had to be hit in a specific way.
Yeah, for the equation.
Yeah.
But it's weird because the past consciousness already knows it.
Yeah.
So why does he have to hit him again? There's a bit of a hole there, oh, but... Yeah. I mean, I'm happy about that scene.
Yeah.
That little, like, me sound of the car.
Slow down. Just stay right there. Stay there.
And they're driving up the stairs, and it was just so ridiculous. And I really laughed. It was amusing to me.
That was fun.
He doesn't end up hitting his friend with the car again to give him the inspiration for the equation. And they're walking back towards the bar where...
Oh, yeah, the girl's got that notebook.
She's got the...
Debbie's chasing them to give him his notebook back, which at this point she's never met him before.
Right.
So why is she...
Well, she met him in the bar, but they didn't have that moment. So he grabs the notebook or whatever, and he's like, bye.
Kisses her and says bye.
If
that's the way you're going to...
Oh, does he?
Yeah. That's the way you're going to try to make sure a relationship doesn't happen, is just kiss someone out of nowhere? It's a weird choice.
Yeah.
And then he's like... four steps walking away, and then we see her consciousness travel back in time. So she travels back, and now they are their present consciousness self in their past bodies having a fight.
And wasn't this a one-way ticket, right? Weren't they not going to be able to travel back?
Yeah.
They have to relive the time.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot why.
Well, because he doesn't build a time machine and... doesn't do the tether. I'm not sure. That's what I assumed.
Or he trashed the machine already? Or
he didn't trash the machine because he's using it.
Oh, he's never going to build it? But he got back the first time without it being built when he got back.
But he had already been hit. He was going to get... because he started the day after he got hit.
I mean, you meaning he knew... Like, this whole thing doesn't make sense. They definitely hinted that they were stuck there now.
Yeah, they said that.
But why? It's their future or their present consciousness in their past body. So he already knows the equation. He has the memories of everything that's happened. And now they have to redo everything. And they're stuck there. But, like, why are they stuck there this time? So that's a huge hole.
It's a huge hole. It doesn't make any sense. But they hinge it on him getting hit. Like, if you go back before he gets hit and don't get hit, then you can't build a time machine. But if you go back any time after he's been hit...
then you're fine.
Oh, they said no, they cannot go back as his phone is not hooked up. He purposely didn't do it.
Oh,
the phone. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Good call. Nice note, Scott. Nice note.
Good job.
So they argue and he's like, I'm sorry. We're done. Like, it's after the fight where he kind of tries to break up, right? Not before.
Well, he like tries to walk away.
But then she comes back and then they fight again.
No, her consciousness has jumped back.
Right.
And then they have a fight and she's like, look, it's our fight. We're fighting. This is good, you know? And he's like, well, we can't be together. And he like turns to walk away and she grabs him and they just kind of like.
And they're going to work on it, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. They like touch foreheads and then the movie ends and it's like, wait. What?
It's like, that wasn't the original ending, probably.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, you violated my entire life and conditioned me in the past few years. But now I have to go back in time and relive this with you, knowing all this.
Knowing that we were together, I was unhappy, I broke up with you, you manipulated me into getting back together, you manipulated every aspect of our lives, you manipulated me to marry you.
But I love you anyway, and let's do this again.
Yeah.
You're right, he should have gone back to the womb and choked himself.
Just like Butterfly Effect?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rom-com, but it's a pretty big violation, and it's really interesting that it never seemed like that in Groundhog Day, right? It just seemed like, oh, that he's got to do it till he gets it right.
Well, yeah, in Groundhog Day, he couldn't control it. In Groundhog Day, he was also the victim, right? He was stuck there.
But he keeps trying with her until he says the right thing.
Right.
And he's like, oh, she likes French? I'm going to learn French. She likes this? I'm going to become the person she wants. But not authentically loving him for who he is. He's got to, like, say the right things and say all whatever her favorite thing is. He says that's his favorite thing.
Yeah.
So you're bullshitting.
But then it starts over. Like, if Groundhog Day would have moved forward from the day that he fully wooed her into bed, then you have an atrocity on your hand. But the fact that
it always reset, yeah.
It just reset.
Well, no, once he got her into bed, that is when it moved forward.
No.
Yeah, that's when she fell in love with him. They fell in love and that's what he had to do and that's how it moved forward.
So then that makes it extra okay.
It is a bit. He did to do.
No, yeah, I know what you're saying.
He had to win her over and yeah. He had to do all the right things.
It's
but
the
I mean,
same.
No, because he had to love himself. He didn't have to love her.
That's not what the movie's about. No, he had to gain her.
So is this, I think this seals it. We've been trying to figure out what movie we're going to redo with Scott.
I think it's
Groundhog Day. Because I don't remember. I don't think that's right.
It's funny to look at it that way, but it really, it's like the same thing. You know, if you're just trying to say, if you're on a first date and you don't say whatever that person likes, you say, oh, that's my favorite philosopher. Oh, I also love French. I love that dessert. And you're lying just to kind of get in their pants. It's a little not romantic, right? It's a little
manipulative.
We're all terrible people on a first date.
Well,
not terrible, but you're definitely your like best possible self.
Yeah.
Right? The best possible self you can absolutely be. But yeah. You're not lying and manipulating and changing
and experimenting with what you
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
So it is within the same vein. It's the same concept as Groundhog Day, but I don't know. It feels different because he is choosing what specifically to do. And you know, they veil it in. It's for love. He's doing it
he
all
for so
love.
He knows so much more than she does. Like the world of knowledge that he has that she doesn't is vastly different.
Well, and it's good that it comes out that he's not happy with the life either. Like, even though he's because, oh, what does he say at the beginning?
He says, I just want to make you happy. How do I make you happy?
Yeah.
Like his entire existence was about making her happy, but he probably lost himself within that, you know?
It frustrated him. Like when he.
Yeah, his whole life has not been being true to himself. He's just been traveling over and over to try to make her happy. So it makes sense he'd be frustrated and he wouldn't be happy.
Yeah, what's he doing? Is he a physics? Is he a professor at 23?
Right.
How did he get that fancy house?
Yeah, who's he? I guess stocks? I guess stock market. That's easy.
That's true. You could go back and invest and place bets and...
Didn't even go, the movie didn't even suggest that.
It didn't even go into any of that. Yeah, this was a love story. This was
yeah.
a rom-com love story. The focus was love, you know? Love and gravity.
Love and gravity. And audio. And feedback.
And sound waves.
So not only was she like violated, manipulated and stuff, and then now she didn't know it, but now she has to relive all those years. I think it's like a solid 3 years you have to relive. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, that's true.
They've already been married. They've already grown up. And now you've like, oh, I have to be back in college again and then redo all this?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, the similarity would change very quickly to what you went through, like, especially since she's got her fucking eye on you now, too. You would not, I mean, in some respects, I mean, you'd have to go to the same fucking classes and pass the same fucking tests. But, like, it would very, at least it would very quickly veer off. From you wouldn't have to like you're not doomed. You don't have to be like, oh shit, what did I say last time? I got to make sure I do that this time. Like,
yeah,
you're getting a whole second chance to just.
Would she really trust this guy?
No. Oh, these two are not gonna last.
Yeah, they're not gonna last.
No, and
these two are done.
He technically still has the equation in his head.
Right, and she always knows. How would she ever know? How do you trust this guy again? And now you also sacrifice.
That's why the. I would have been satisfied if they had like separated ways at the end and yeah. like their story was over.
Right. You just shouldn't try to force something. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And no matter how much you try to say what she wants. Yeah. No consequence to it. Just from all that to turn it into a happy ending so quickly seemed a bit strange. He could have gone back and like ended it with her. But then like some other situation with them happened that Joe's like, oh, this was supposed to happen. And now it's happening in a different way. Maybe that would have been better than her just going back and being like, ah, fuck it.
I'm trying to think so first of all let's figure this out. Like I think you do have to return to the start point. Well, unless well no because he doesn't.
Yeah, this one gets weird.
Yeah,
if he has the memory from a timeline that didn't exist, at what point do things still exist because it has existed, right? Or what point does it, like the Back to the Future, the photo fades, or in some movies the photo that you grab, it just still exists because it did exist.
But at the end, it was just because he didn't tether his phone to it. That's why. So you'd always have to return to your start. I don't think I want this time machine. I think it's too easy. I think it, because it's so simple, because it's just right there on your phone, just 3 minutes, 10 minutes, yesterday. Like, I think it's impossible. I mean, look at how much we abuse the apps that are on our phone already.
Yeah, well, he abused it, right? He redid some moments because he wanted to experience it over and over again, and his friend got stuck in that elevator.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he definitely abused it.
Yeah.
For sure, for self-gain.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
And how artificial does that make life for you?
Yeah, when he's
you
can not just a good guy. Rewind it. The main guy is kind of like a terrible person.
To just want to see her happy that he picked a lock over and over and over and over again.
He's selfish and obsessive and yeah.
I'm sure we're tearing it to shreds. I'm sure that was not the writer's point of view, but
he was doing it
comes
love.
Off that way.
Because what I kept thinking was going to happen in that moment is she was going to say, well, now I don't feel trapped because I know you can get me out of here. Let's make love on the rooftop. That would have been awesome. But no, he had to just see her turned on by his Mission Impossible skills.
Over and over again.
Over and over again. I do love Evan in that fucking elevator.
Yeah, he was great in this movie.
It's really interesting, the idea of what, how would you treat life differently if there were no consequences? If you just could erase every...
Just like that.
You could erase anything you could do. You could say whatever you want to people.
Go back and redo it. Yeah.
You could shoot people in the streets because you just go back and make sure it didn't happen. You could tell people what you think of them.
I guess it helps that, like, unless you're in time travel mode, you do have to go to the machine. So it's not, I mean, you could easily just set it up to where it's like, I'm just going to go back a week and just never catch up so I can just always jump around with my phone. Because when he's fixing her life constantly, he's constantly got to go down to that fucking, go into the secret room behind the sliding wall, get in the time machine, go set the timer for the turkey, come back to the time machine and just pretend like he was down there.
Yeah, it's not a good life for him either.
Yeah, it's a whole process.
I still like this movie, but these are terrible people. He's a terrible person.
He's a terrible person, yeah.
And she's a dummy for being with him.
Yeah.
Is our stoner Evan the only redeemable character in this?
Definitely.
Yeah.
With how the movie ended, definitely.
So he has to, did they go into that? So he also went back in time with them.
Yeah.
And he's got to relive all that.
Yeah.
And whatever friends and people and couples he made, even Blue Ribbon Girl, now he has to redo that.
And that's 3 years. Because, yeah, there's the year of the relationship, which they got to relive. And then they were 2 years ahead of that.
I mean, you're eliminating people's lives. You're eliminating people in his future that may not happen again.
Yeah, there you have it.
There we have it. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And maybe throw a review our way if you're feeling nice. Especially if you got a good review. We like nice reviews. Those are our favorite ones. 5 stars? Love them. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We are at time_pop_pod. That is Time Pop Pod. Keep sending us great movie recommendations to timepoppod@gmail.com. You can also send any questions or comments from this or any past episode to the same address. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Time Pop? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have Comedy Spirituality, The Wheel of Time, Fitness and Nutrition, and Awesome Women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Thank the Light, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine free podcasts. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Arielle.
And I'm Scott.
Bye-bye now.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Welcome! Hold on. Got a little bubble there.
Oh, I say you keep that one. I think that's the money shot.
Oh, he got hit by a smart car and it made him smart.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. But it certainly wasn't terrible, so...